Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we had been studying Jesus' attitude towards Sabbath in the context of Jesus' dispute with the religious leaders. We have seen what is the origin of Sabbath, how Sabbath was practiced in the Babylonian culture, and how this practice of Sabbath was incorporated into the Bible as a commandment of the covenant, and how the day of an evil demon was transformed into the day of the Lord, the day of rest that the Lord God has stipulated for his people as a remembrance of their liberation from the land of slavery, Egypt, or as a participation in the rest of God, who completed his creation in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The priestly document reported or in the book of Exodus gives emphasis to God's rest, whereas the Deuteronomic document, the book of Deuteronomy, gives importance to the sociological aspect of the Sabbath, that of liberation from slavery. Putting the two together, we have the center of Sabbath as a participation in God's rest, as a guarantee for liberation for human beings. You were slaves in Egypt, so you were liberated by a mighty hand of God. So now you should give freedom or rest to your slaves, and you yourself should rest. Man and woman should not become slaves of work, however important that work could be. So the center of attention in the Bible, when it speaks about Sabbath, is that of rest. Rest in God's presence. But we have seen, as time passed, especially during the exile and afterwards, there was a shift of emphasis from this aspect of rest to that of no work. You shall do no work on Sabbath. So the reason for the no work was resting on Sabbath and participating in God's rest. But later on, the spirit of that law somehow disappeared, and the letter became more important. The rabbis started asking the question, the lawyers and the leaders of the people started asking the question, what does it mean not to work? What kind of work is forbidden on Sabbath? They have seen some examples in the Bible itself. For example, in chapter 16, verse 23 of Exodus, it is forbidden to cook food. People were asked to collect manna every day. But the day before the Sabbath, they had to collect double the portion and cook and keep it for the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath, they were not allowed to collect food on Sabbath, and they were not allowed to cook. They were not allowed to collect firewood on Sabbath. That is in book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 32 to 36. A person who was collecting firewood on Sabbath was arrested, and he was condemned to death because he broke the law of Sabbath. So no collecting firewood. They are not allowed to light a fire. For example, in the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verses 2 and 3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy Sabbath of solemn rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in your dwellings on the Sabbath day. So kindling fire on the Sabbath is a crime deserving penalty of death. So severe was the interpretation. Taking inspiration from such laws, the lawyers in Israel made a list, an exhaustive list of works that are forbidden on the day of Sabbath. So they made a list of 40 minus 1 items of work, 39 types of work. And again, in each of these 39 items, they found again subdivisions of 39. So hundreds of types of works were identified as forbidden on the day of Sabbath. Some examples. For example, all the work related to plowing and sowing were forbidden. One is not allowed to plow the land, not to sow the seed, not to reap the harvest, not allowed to thresh, not allowed to cook. So nothing of that type of work should be done. One is not allowed to light a fire. One is not allowed to wash plates or clothes. One is not allowed to tie a knot. And he's not allowed to untie a knot either. One is not allowed to put two stitches on a cloth. One stitch one may be allowed, but not two stitches. One is not allowed to kill a bird or animal or whatever. Not allowed to catch fish. Not allowed to climb a tree. Not allowed to clap hands. Not allowed to jump. Not allowed to add salt to food, etc., etc. So there are so many minute details the rabbis found out and listed under the law of Sabbath. So the entire work forbidden by the law of Sabbath was tabulated and was taught. But the ordinary people did not know what type of work was permissible and what not. Very often it is said that a person is not allowed to carry a weight on a Sabbath. But what is carrying weight? For example, if you are a scribe, if you are a person who writes with a pen, make sure that you don't take a pen in your pocket. Because if on the way, the Sabbath breaks out and you have a pen in your pocket, you are not allowed to carry that pen during the Sabbath day because you'll be found guilty of carrying a burden. So you will have to throw away the pen and walk home. So minute details became almost an unbearable burden. But these were very saintly, holy people who observed the Sabbath. Why is it that the rabbis gave such importance to this law? Because they knew that this was God's will. It was God's manifested will that they should not work on the Sabbath. And they were painstakingly inquiring what types of work could not be done. And they made a list for the people to observe. But the unfortunate thing is, in the zeal for pleasing God, they somehow missed the focus. The focus of Sabbath was not working. The focus of Sabbath was resting. People have the fundamental right to rest. A person who works needs rest. Work without rest will destroy the person. So it was God in his great kindness has given this law. You who work should rest. Not only that, you should not become slave of work. You should not live in order to work. You work in order to live. And work is not the most important thing. The most important thing is life with God. So that is the priestly document telling. The seventh day is the Sabbath, the day of rest. You rest with God. So in the course of time, from rest, the emphasis was shifted also to that of worship. A day dedicated to God, the day made holy. Holy means set aside, set apart for God's service. In fact, this service of God was also for human beings, to enjoy God's presence in our daily life. So one day in the week was set aside to rest in God's presence, to meditate, to reflect on God's love, God's merciful and liberating love, and also to foster the hope of participating in that eternal rest. But as it turned out in the interpretation of the lawyers, this law of Sabbath became such a burden that it is impossible for the people to observe it. Those who wanted strictly to observe the law of Sabbath could do nothing at all. And it was almost impossible to live according to this law. So it is in this context that Jesus comes to the fore. And his attitudes, his teaching and his dealings somehow collided head on with this attitude of the lawyers and Pharisees. The Pharisees who were strictly observing the law and the lawyers who were strictly interpreting the law could not understand Jesus' attitude. And Jesus made it a point to challenge their interpretation of the law. That is what the Gospel of Mark is telling us in the fourth conflict concerning the Sabbath. The disciples of Jesus were accused of doing something not permissible on the day of Sabbath. So we have already read the passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? The Pharisees were not accusing the disciples of stealing. They were plucking ears of corn and eating. In the Gospel of Matthew, it is said because they were hungry. Luke reports the same thing. He doesn't say they were hungry, but they were plucking the ears of corn and eating it. Mark doesn't say they ate it. They were just plucking the corn. The same event, same activity is reported by the three evangelists in three different ways. However, none of them accused the disciples of stealing because it was allowed. Everybody knows the law of Israel concerning plucking ears of corn. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, we have this law. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, as many as you wish, but you shall not put any in your container. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So you are allowed to pluck the ears of corn and eat. So that was not the point. The point is, the disciples were doing something that was forbidden on the day of Sabbath. The Pharisees were interested in the observance of the law. And they considered the disciples plucking the ears of corn as reaping and threshing and cooking and eating, all these activities somehow forbidden by the law. Now, how does Jesus respond to it? Before answering the question, Jesus brings in an example from the first book of Samuel, where David, while fleeing from Saul, comes to the shrine at Nob and asks the priest Abiathar for food. And the priest tells him, "We have no food here except the sacred bread or the show bread, the 12 loaves of bread that the high priest was placing every Sabbath in the presence of God in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And he was changing it on every Sabbath. So when the fresh loaves are brought into the presence, the old ones are taken out and they were eaten only by priests, because they were presented to God, they were considered holy. And only priests are allowed to eat. Now the priest is telling that we have only this holy bread here. And David was not a priest. Neither his companions were priests. Even though they were not priests, David and his companions received this bread, telling they were pure, ritually pure. So David did something that was unlawful according to the Jewish law. And Jesus is telling, because David and his companions were hungry, they broke the laws. Later on, he would say, the priests who slaughter the animals in the temple during the Sabbath do not break the law. So there are certain things that are being allowed in the temple and temple-related service. So David was hungry and he ate something that was not legally allowed. So legally forbidden thing he did. And he was not considered a sinner for that. So in the same way, Jesus is telling, laws are made for human beings, for their freedom, for their growth. And human beings should not be sacrificed for the sake of law. So this is a great teaching of Jesus, that the law, the Sabbath, is for man and not man for Sabbath. So this is a basic attitude of Jesus. Whatever be the law, religious law or political law, civil, social law, all these laws are meant for the good well-being of human beings. And no human being should be victimized by the law. And he goes on to say one more thing. And the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So two statements of Jesus that somehow put him in real danger in the sight of the law-abiding, law-enforcing authority. First, he states the relativity of law. The law of Sabbath given by God, Jesus interprets as a law that is meant for human beings. They were considering that observing this law, they were serving God. The law was for the service of God. Now Jesus tells, no, the law is for the service of human beings. It should give you freedom. It should make you a real human being. It should make the life in society peaceful, happy. And only in this peaceful and happy society is God being glorified. So service of God or service to God is to be done through serving human beings. So putting human beings first and their needs and their interests. And then comes the next, even more startling revelation. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And who is this Son of Man? Jesus did not explain. Does it mean every human being? Not necessarily so. Even though the word Son of Man, Bar Nasha, means just a human, a mortal. But in the mouth of Jesus, in the gospel, Son of Man stands for Jesus himself. And we have all the background, the prophetic background of Son of Man, be it in the book of Daniel or be it in the book of Exodus, Ezekiel. Son of Man is a person, a suprahuman person who is to come into this world. Later on, we will see how Jesus interprets the Son of Man. We have already seen, while healing the paralytic, Jesus said, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. An authority that was reserved to God, the Pharisees thought. He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sin except God? So, while healing the paralytic, Jesus revealed himself as the Son of Man who has the power to forgive sin, a power that is reserved to God, now reveals himself as the Son of Man who has authority over even Sabbath. Sabbath, the most sacred of the commandments, the most sacred of the law, is somehow subject to the Son of Man. Jesus can interpret the law. The law that was given by God through Moses is now being revised and interpreted, reinterpreted. The interpretation gives the true meaning. Later on, Jesus would say, the Son of Man came not to abolish law and prophets, but to fulfill it. The fulfillment comes through interpreting, reinterpreting the meaning, the real meaning of the law. The law of Sabbath was given so that we may have rest, that we may have a human dignity as sons and daughters of God. So the law is to protect the human dignity of the sons and daughters of God, not to enslave them. So it's not placing man over law or man under the law, it's interpreting the true meaning of the law and with that of all the commandments. Now, we'll continue this reflection in our next meditation concerning the healing on a Sabbath. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, who came to this world as the Lord of Sabbath. We thank you for interpreting the true sense of Sabbath and all the laws as means of our freedom and liberation. Lord, thank you for calling us your children, who are free to serve you, who are free as your own children. Enable us to understand the meaning of your commandments, respect them, and to obey them according to their true meaning. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.